gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some makeup on it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the domestic abuse edition of the Try Games podcast. I am your host, as usual, Mr. Chupon, a.k.a. Austin. I'm fucking sick, so I've got three people to support me here. Let's start with our usual Al. Hello.
Yo!
Okay. We have two special guests with us today, although they're not really guests. They've been with us for some time. You'll recognize one as the frothing, ranty writer of the Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories Review. As well as many other frothing, ranty reviews. Her name is... His name is Tony.
Yeah, that was a good shot there.
Introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Tony, also known as Porpoise Whale.
Porpoise
good
Whale.
To be here. Yeah. And I have many more bad reviews to give to everybody if they want them.
That sounds sexual.
It will
last,
be.
Last but not least, we have Ethan, the man who has... Well, he hasn't really written anything for the site yet, but that's okay. That's
just
fine. Oh,
man. You know what? That's messed up because I totally did write something for the site and send it to you.
Oh.
That was in conjunction with the other two. So that doesn't count.
Fine. What about the novel I sent you?
A novel? You
yeah,
mean
you
an erotic
novel.
Pornographic novel?
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with video games?
It totally had stuff to do with video games, but...
Shut up. Okay.
He was playing video games at the time.
Oh, God. Messy controller. Okay.
Whoa.
We're going to start off, because I'm sick, with what you guys have been playing recently. Who wants to go first?
Ethan, you go for it.
I've been playing a lot of stuff recently.
That's such a nice.
That's great. Want to embellish?
I might, you know, if you take a minute. I've been playing SWAT 4 a lot. I really like that game. I think it may be a little bit underrated. It got pretty good reviews all around, but it's a pretty good game. I've been playing
a lot of...
It. Go ahead.
Oh, is it like an... Because I haven't played it yet, but I was interested in it. Is it more of a sim-type shooter, kind of like Rainbow Six, or is it more all-out, or is it not? Is it totally different from both of them?
It's much more like a tactical simulator like Rainbow Six, or like the old ones. I've also been playing Rainbow Six Lockdown, which is the new version of the Rainbow Six series, and it's way more arcadey than it ever was. So it's no longer a tactical simulation. It's more of a first-person arcadey shooter, whereas SWAT 4 kind of retains the simulator feel. You command your guys, you shoot a bunch of stuff, but you really have to slow down the movement to technically get through each level.
Right.
He loves the parts where he blows up his own teammates.
I really do. It's fantastic. There's some dialogue that they've put in. When you drop a flashbang or shoot somebody, there is the loudest what the fuck that goes off in the game. It is hilarious. I often shoot my teammates when I'm, you know, blowing a mission just to hear him say it. It's really fucking hilarious. I've been playing a lot of Battlefield 2, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And I really like it. I hate most massively multiplayer online games, and I love Battlefield 2. So I don't know if that's just me or if the game is really that good. But
I've heard the same thing about World of Warcraft, and a lot of people don't like those type of games to get right into that game. So it might just be the draw of Battlefield.
Maybe.
I have a question about Lockdown. I've heard a lot of people talk crap about it because it's arcade, and also you can't crouch, I heard?
That's not correct. You can crouch.
That's
and
not
you can
correct.
Go prone. But
they must be talking about the Xbox version. Then.
No, they were talking about the Mega Man version.
Ignore.
Every time I play Lockdown on my Dreamcast, it messes up. It's really bad.
Hey, Lockdown.
Yeah. But can crouch, you can go prone, but it's way more arcadey, and I really don't know why they did that. There, you know, in an era where there's plenty of games for first-person shooter kind of arcade style, I have no idea why they would change course like that. There's no more planning. That's the big thing that's been ripped out. You used to be able to plan every mission beforehand. There's no more of that. And
maybe because it wasn't used that much?
No, I mean, you had to use it.
You know what? I think it all comes down to everybody's getting into these shooters on the Xbox and PS2, and they tried to water it down for the console market. Now, Rainbow Six Las Vegas, that's coming out soon, I know is supposed to return to its roots, and they're actually taking, like, kind of divergent paths, kind of like what they did with Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. Like, on the Xbox, I heard it's a lot. It's still, while it's still very simulation, it's also nowhere near as what it is on the PC. And from what I read, the only reason why the PC version got bad reviews mediocre reviews is because I guess it was buggy and it had a lot of high system requirements, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good theory. I mean, I haven't heard anything about the next game, but this game, I was really, really disappointed. I didn't finish the first level in this game.
Don't play Lockdown. I guess that's very.
Yeah, don't play Lockdown. If you like tactical sims, don't play Lockdown. If you like hokey, arcadey feeling shooters, then it's another.
Play Halo.
Yeah.
Or Smash TV.
Actually, don't play Halo. What'd you say, Al?
Smash TV.
Smash TV.
Wow.
Yeah, that really compares graphically.
No way.
What the fuck?
I'd like to make an argument that the original Mario Brothers is the original first-person shooter.
Damn right.
Okay.
Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. Actually, I've been redundant. I've been playing a lot of the classic games on the PS2, such as Final Fantasy X2 and Mercenaries. I'm loving that. I'm sure. Has anybody played Mercenaries?
Not yet. I heard a lot. I heard it's like semi Grand Theft Auto with blowing lots and lots.
Well, yeah. Well, there is an aspect of hijacking cars.
I played it with you, Tony, I think, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I just love games like that cater to my destructive side. So, I really love that game. Lately, I've just been disappointed with the new stuff. So I've just gone back to the old stuff. The only new game that I've recently played was Kingdom Hearts 2, and I absolutely adored that game. That was that was an amazing game. But cleared it after 45 hours, so now I'm just in terminal boredom.
you know the thing about Mercenaries, the second one's coming out, and I think it involves either it involves Venezuela or something like it.
Mm-hmm.
And the president Hugo Chavez is pretty upset about that.
Really?
It was like railing against Mercenaries too because he was like blah 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 blah.
Well, maybe
isn't
he thinks that
isn't he giving us oil?
He's just upset because of the hot coffee part of it.
No, I think he's upset because
of sex with Hugo Chavez. It's awesome.
No, if he takes the logic.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, if he takes the logic of some people who think video games are influential, then most people are going to become mercenaries and go into his country. And
coffee with him.
That would be hilarious, actually, if somebody were to make the argument that a game like Mercenaries actually influences behavior.
I'd actually go in there with a backpack full of Twinkies because I'll get hungry.
Good one.
Okay. Next, Al, what have you been playing?
I've been playing the same old Warcraft every
World
night.
World of Warcraft again? Okay.
Majora's Mask during the day. Trying to figure that game out is pretty tough. And
by the way, I heard that you also played Ocarina of Time. How did you like that enemy in the haunted well? What was his name? Thumper or whatever?
He Bongo,
like played
Bongo?
The Bongo Bongo. That's the Thumper.
Yeah.
That was the Bambi version of that game.
Bongo Bongo was cool. I like bosses like that because they bring out the thinker in you, sort of.
Yeah,
I'll tell me how to beat him because I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh yeah. Man, you are.
No, you need
out.
To play it.
I know. Shut up.
So anyhow,
part of the problem is admitting you have one.
Yeah. As of early this morning, I've been playing Guitar Hero.
Thank God.
Wow.
Finally.
That is a great game.
I got so addicted to that game when Asa came over, and I feel like such a woman for loving it, but I love that game.
Reminds me of? That reminds me of the time that I went over to my brother's house with Virtua Tennis for the Dreamcast, and he was like, I don't want to play this Virtua Tennis. Get that fag game out of here, And then we played it, and we can't put it down. That was it's almost that same type of game.
I feel
that, first of all, I'm just not dexterous when it comes to that, so I totally, sucked at it. But that didn't dissuade me from playing it.
It usually
which was great.
Doesn't.
It does, actually. It does. When I can't play a game in front of you, I get nervous and then I cry.
No, that's how you normally feel. You feel at home and comfy.
And then I abuse the hell out of your girl, but that's neither here or there.
Ouch.
No, but
what I'm nervous about it is with the fact that I play guitar myself.
Mm.
There's I started playing a game right on hard, and
wow,
because easy and normal they kind of just take you through and they only use the first 4 frets.
That's true.
But then starting from hard, they use the 5th one. You have to start changing your position and things like that.
Yeah.
And
sounds like sex. Sorry, go ahead.
I use all the frets.
It's really really interesting doing all the hammer ups and whatnot. Like I was playing. What's that song? I think it was either Iron Man or You Got Nothing Coming. And there's like a lot of No, it was Iron Man, where it's like, then it's like all hammers.
Yeah, wait till you get to Bark at the Moon.
Oh, I can't wait to play that song. That's the one reason why I want to play this game, because of Bark at the Moon.
Yeah. Oh,
but why is the game so much fun? Why is it, I mean, it's I know you play guitar, and I play guitar too a little bit, Al, but I don't, it's clearly not just for guitar players. There's something really addictive about five buttons on a fake plastic guitar. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and it's also, I mean, not to say it's the same caliber of game, but why is Dance Dance Revolution so, you know, because you could show off to your friends how quick you are with your, you know, and you feel
kind of
like important about that.
Yeah.
There was one thing about that game that I did voice before, and that was, I think, if they had a way to incorporate, like, in the middle of the songs, random solos, that way it wouldn't just become a memory game, it would become so much what it's supposed to be, a dexterity game.
Right.
Okay? You have to be in the game.
You want, like, a randomizer, where in the middle
you
come up with new
like,
for
instance,
cool.
Yeah, like for instance, I know it'll sound all choppy and stuff, and may not sound good at all. Okay,
not necessarily.
But if they put like a random, like in the middle of the song or at different places, just something random to totally throw you off, you know, just to make you realize that hey, you know, this is not a memory thing anymore. You know, because most people, they get into memory things and they're so proud with themselves. You know,
be proud of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Be proud of yourself when you could do all the memory stuff and then nail the totally random stuff. Then you got
that
bragging rights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's that it's that whole bragging thing, but it's also like a lot of people are intimidated by a controller with four buttons, two analog sticks, a start and select button, triggers, and shoulder buttons.
Yeah.
Supposed to do with that. And then you just hand them a guitar, and they're like, well, I don't play guitar, but I kind of know what I'm supposed to do with this. And then, of course, they bail out in the first couple of songs. They don't know what to do. But when they finally learn it, they're like, hey, guess what? I'm actually playing music. I'm not just, like, moving this guy on the screen. I'm actually producing music out of the screen. And that's, to me, what the reason I like it better than something like Craft Revolution is because when you're dancing on you're dancing on the pad, what do you see? You see this polygon guy dancing, ooh, big, you know, big shit.
Well, so, that's the whole thing. That's a game that if you're a big, heavy person and you could do it, you got bragging rights. I mean, serious.
Sure, but then when you consider the fact that with Guitar Hero, you're actually outputting music, something that, like, you can sit and listen to. Whereas with Dance Dance Revolution, there's kind of less output. You just kind of see something on screen. It's like, okay, well, I mess up, the song's going to go on, or maybe...
That's true, yeah.
The notes stop, and you mess up, and it feels like crap. When you succeed, and you pull off this crazy solo, you're like, you can hear it. Someone was saying something, Ethan, that I think it was?
Yeah, no, I think what you hit on, like, I think the main reason why... I think probably both those games are popular, which is that they're so easy to pick up and really difficult to master. And so many game developers are trying to find that balance of, you know, how do you...
Like Tetris!
Yeah, just like Tetris. Yes. I mean, it's a great example. You know, you have something that everybody can understand the rules within 5 seconds, but to, you know, get really, really good at it is extremely challenging. So it's not just the game in that sense. The developers did a really good job designing the input device, guitar.
Yeah. Too bad those graphics don't measure up to the game.
I would like to play Lockdown with that guitar.
That would be great.
Definitely get a strap, stand up, and play it in front of my living room. And
you know what? You just want to play Lockdown in general.
I do.
You want to be locked down in your house.
Look, I like
with
being another locked in the bathroom, and I don't see this much people would.
Uh-oh.
Anything else that you're playing before these two monkeys don't shut up?
Yeah, I'm still trying to finish Mario & Luigi Partners in Time, and it's a pretty long game, about 14 hours into it.
Okay.
Wow.
I guess I'm the last one who hasn't gone yet. I haven't played shit for the past 2 weeks, really, except I just started up Half-Life 2 again yesterday, because I uninstalled it, and I reinstalled it, and it's better than Doom 3. That's all I got to say about it. Then again, a lot of things are better than Doom 3.
Far Cry.
But I think I told this to Ethan earlier on the phone, but I was looking at it, and it's got... Somehow it looks like the lighting improved. Like, they might have done an update via Steam or something, but the lighting's improved. Anybody who has a, what's it called? A video card capable of high dynamic range lighting will definitely see a benefit from this. Not as in extreme as with the Far Cry patch, but it still looks great, and I'm basically trying to finish it ASAP so that I can get into the new expansion, Episode 1, that you can download through Steam, and not buy from EA, because, yeah, that's how I feel about EA, but anyways. Moving on, because that's all I've been playing. We got a little bit of news to cover, as per usual. I'm going to go in chronological order with the small shit that I posted on the site during my lunch break at work, and not necessarily during my lunch break. But first, Iwata and the Nintendo... Oh, God, I'm not going to call it this again. The Revolution. I'm still going to call it the Revolution.
It's the
Wii! Right.
It's the Wii! Shut up. No, no. We've gone through this already in episode 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm not calling it the WII. Only... Okay, so...
I mean, he defends the name. He thinks the name wasn't a mistake.
Me?
No, the designer.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
A lot of people... well, he has to, but... Well, there are a couple.
Well, he does. I mean, like.
Yeah, it's good.
But there are a couple of things new in the world of Nintendo here. First, the fact that he's kind of going on the little Sony line of rhetoric and crazy talk, but apparently, Nintendo is not working on a next generation console. Next generation implies that the console is an extension of the previous installments. Duh. We believe that extending our current line will not lead to larger markets and. Possibly even lead to smaller markets. That's the first thing.
That's
I don't know what you guys think of it, but to me that's just rhetoric and like unnecessary and can also give up.
No, I think it's a cop out. I really do, and that's exactly why I'm not very enthused about buying a new system, say the Xbox 360, because with previous systems everything was like leaps and bounds better. Okay, with exception of PS2, which I hated. Okay, I totally hate the PS2, only because two of the new things that they wanted to incorporate on here was the PS the what do you call those the thing in the back of your computer? What is that? The USB bus? Yeah. Okay, they incorporated that, which is absolutely useless. I've never seen anybody use that. Okay, maybe they have.
I
hook up my digital camera to that thing all the time.
And then the worst aspect of the system, which was one of the selling points that they had, was the pressure-sensitive buttons as opposed to like
the
analog
buttons.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm surprised they did not get many lawsuits for carpal tunnels, because this in order for you to play some games, especially like Gran Turismo 3 or even 4 to some extent, the amount of pressure that you have to put on this handle in order for your car to actually move, performance level, okay, makes you just want to go and get the old Genesis handle where you just press a button and everything was just one speed, okay?
Or maybe that the controller would have triggers, which it doesn't.
Yes, exactly. Everything's pressure sensitive. Even the digital pad, it's ridiculous, it just never was a good selling point for me. But the difference in these systems is that with each previous systems, the graphics got better. I mean, infinitely better, okay? You think about the leap between Dreamcast and even the Nintendo 64 or the PlayStation at the time. That was huge, gigantic. I know they had a lot of fluff, the memory card things and stuff like that, but it was huge. It made me want to get it. That was something new. Now it's just like, we don't want to take a chance. We'll just make the graphics marginally better, or we'll put HD or, some other bells and whistles.
Well, there's a lot of things, though, that I got a question just now. Is when you look at... there really is a difference in the best software that I see. If you take the best-looking Xbox game, take the best-looking 360 game that's currently on the market, which possibly is either Oblivion or maybe Fight Night Round 3, there is a huge difference, and this is only in the first generation. The second thing is that when we're talking about Nintendo is they're not choosing to really go after visuals as their, new thing. Discussed with I think pretty much all of you, is that this controller is supposed to be, not leaps and bounds in graphics, but leaps and bounds with the way that you interact with your game.
Right.
It's the same thing as the difference between the Game Boy Advance and the Nintendo DS. My beef with this quote is that it's just rhetoric, and it just doesn't really... you hear him say that, and it's like, okay, what the hell are you trying to tell me?
Well, he's trying to tell you... I mean, you're right. In a sense, it's rhetoric, but he's trying to accentuate the fact that the new input device... is a big deal. That's all it is. It's just another marketing quote. It's
absolutely
not necessarily... I can't believe that deep down he doesn't honestly feel that it's the next generation console.
Yeah,
and you hit the nail right on the head. That's exactly my answer to my own question. Is I'm sitting here going, you really don't have to say something like this. Just man up and say, well, they're doing graphics, we're doing the controller. This is the next generation. This is our next generation, isn't it?
Right. That's definitely something very revolutionary. But at the same token, that's just going to make you say, if I had a game that was graphically less appealing, okay, but played this way, is that what I would want to pay, say, $400 for a startup system for?
Well, it's not going to be $400.
No, I totally understand. I'm just saying...
It's going to be $200.
I'm just saying...
But I would. I would pay for it.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's what
point.
I'm saying, okay? Whatever the price was, okay? Because it seems like the prices with some of these systems are just ridiculous. I mean, and they just started off. They have, like, five games. Why would you want to do it? You know? There's, like, so here it is, okay? If the graphics are just not really revolutionary, but the gameplay is...
You know,
is that enough for you to do it?
I don't think these consoles are expensive enough, to be honest. I kind of think the price point should be higher.
Because they always take a loss on the...
No. I mean, I think it'll raise the bar on the types of players in these consoles, and I really want to play with only the elite. So they should sell a console for $40,000.
You know what? Hey, you're so affluent right now. Why don't you just...
Listen to me. And that's the point. When I buy my $40,000 console, you can't play, Tony, because you shouldn't.
You know what? That's just for that, I should go over there and sleep in front of your house.
Take it easy. Sorry about that.
But yeah, you know what? I honestly think that what Tony said about thinking about the new consoles and not wanting to buy them because it's not that much different than what is already existing. Is what Iwata is saying when it comes to could possibly even lead to smaller markets. You get people who are like, yeah, you know, I used to play all these games and all this stuff, but I just don't think that this new stuff is any different.
That's a good point.
And then you have the Wii, which is totally different, and then you bring some people who are like, you know, I don't think anything is different, but I think that this is really cool because of this controller, and I can really imagine, you know, what games can come out. We'll see
comes out. Nothing but Star Wars, Jedi fights.
You know, Lucas.
Hey, that's Jedi fight.
LucasArts actually said, like, we don't have any plans for that, so that kind of...
it blows.
Whatever, they'll just make, like...
some people's woodies.
They'll make, like, Blar Wars or something. It'll be the same.
Blar Wars.
You know, you'll use your light knife or something.
Right. Return of the Yeti.
To move on,
okay.
Before I move on from this quote of his, I think, like, from a marketing perspective, it's also dangerous because it might send people the wrong message. They, you know, when they hear something, oh, it's new generation, they're kind of like, what? New Coke? What? when he says this is not next generation, the people who are like that will kind of think, if it's not next generation, what is it? You know, and they're not going to understand his rhetoric or his intent that, okay, well, new generation implies totally revolutionary thing. They're not going to understand that. So when he says, we're not working on a next-gen console, they'll be like, so what are you working on? I don't get it.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
I was just going to one question, you know, who the real audience is for that. I mean, when he says stuff like that, it's mostly going to be press. It's mostly going to be industry experts. It's not, I don't know that, like, every single consumer on the ground follows what corporate Nintendo says, or corporate Sony, or anybody for that matter. They don't care. They read, like, review magazines and review sites, and maybe they'll come across the clip, but...
This is true, but then, like, you'll get press members who, like Tony, think, well, that's a cop-out statement. That's just an excuse for them to say, well, we don't have better graphics because this isn't a next-gen system. So, I mean, I think either way, they're kind of screwed. I mean, they're not screwed.
Yeah.
It's just something to think about on their part. Like, why would you come out and say something like that? I can understand, but at the same time, I just don't agree necessarily.
No,
I would like
I think
to
you're
say
right.
also one thing.
Better.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I would like to also say one thing that supports my previous statement, and that is, remember when Genesis decided not to go with a next-generation system, but to put an add-on, the 32X, a 32-bit capability? I mean, come on. it was a huge disappointment.
For all the zero games that it had, right?
Oh, man. It was horrible. I mean, just like... And what's funny is that I bought it not out of excitement, but out of sheer boredom, because at that time...
You bought
at that
it out
time,
of pity.
Actually, I think I paid $5 for it. So it was a worthwhile investment.
All right. Let's move on.
Yeah, moving on.
Moving on. The next piece of news that he let slip, well, and this is mostly to investors, is that the launch title would be, well, the launch date and price would be announced before September of this year. And as of yet, the only information we have is that it won't be any more than $250. Now, bear in mind, this is a ceiling. This is not the actual price. This is probably just there for investors to say, okay, well, this is what their estimates are going to be for the fiscal year coming up.
Right.
But considering that no more than $250 doesn't mean that they potentially wouldn't launch it at $250. Like they might just be like, it's not going to be more than $250. It'll be $249.99.
Exactly.
Now, when you compare it to an Xbox 360 core system that's $299, a premium system that's $399, or one of the PlayStation 3 models, which are $7 billion. Considering that Nintendo's aim is to truly capture the mass market, their graphics aren't that much better, and the thing that they have riding on is a controller. If they were to launch at $250, would that get Joe Blow, who doesn't play video games on the street, to take interest in this thing?
I think it will, and I think there's another more interesting question, which is Xbox, or PS3 rather, is $600. You can buy an Xbox 360 and a Wii for less money.
Known affectionately
Will you have people who have Xbox 360 now because it's a year out, you know, it's been out a year before everything else.
Yeah.
And then will actually, for their second system, they're going to buy a Wii instead.
You know,
that's affectionately known as the Wii 60 combo on the internet. But there's a webpage called Wii60.com.
You gotta be kidding.
Go ahead, Tony. No, I'm not. Go ahead, Tony.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that also it just like PlayStation announced these things, okay? These bells and whistles to compete with a system that's already out, okay? Because they want the interest to be there, okay, when the system comes out. So we have Blu-ray. I mean, we have the totally new kind of like people are walking down the street going, "Oh, it has Blu-ray." What the fuck is that? You know? That's exactly what I said. Yeah, Blu-ray. I mean, you know, can I hang it up on the wall? You know? So, I think it's just, I think it's they go to you and they're like, yeah, it has Blu-ray. And then they're playing on your ignorance, sort of, if you don't research it. And most people, you know, they'll just take for granted, well, it's got something that I've never heard before, so it's going to be great. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's new technology. It's worth that much.
They may incorporate what Blu-ray is in their nifty ads when it actually does come out. I think you'll hear
like
a lot more
like
about
they did Wi-Fi to PSP.
No,
because they didn't do that.
They'll do a much better job at the Blu-ray stuff, I think.
I'm still waiting for somebody to play it.
I think there are already Blu-ray movies that are coming out, actually.
Yeah, well, they
they are. Yeah, but they
which I won't buy.
They have a different level of commitment to the Blu-ray stuff than they did for Wi-Fi, which was a general.
It's because
principle.
Blu-ray is their own proprietary format, and
exactly.
The PS3 is just a simple way to push that into households.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
just like the UMD, just like
UMD
you know,
failed. Oh,
I'm sorry.
So did mini.
UMD failed.
Yeah. So did mini disc. Wow, that's harsh.
Yeah,
well, mini.
Oh no.
Well, what was it? LP4 that they introduced for the mini discs? I mean, they're always doing something. They want to do something that says, oh, this is going to be the new industry standard. And it just doesn't work out that way.
Well, they're trying to do what Microsoft does for software to hardware, and it doesn't work that way when you have so many other players that are already in the market. They didn't get in on the electronics, you know, boom, you know, early and then take the monopoly from the beginning like Microsoft did over Mac. And there isn't two brands. There's, you know, thousands of electronics producers. So for Sony to try to lock people out and have anything proprietary is just plain dumb.
Before I ask Al what he thinks about this pricing, I'd just like to say that for the past 5 podcasts, we've been railing on everything that Sony has said in the past month, and that's not without reason. Yeah, they've said really stupid things, but that doesn't mean I don't have a PS2 sitting in my house. That doesn't mean my TV isn't made by Sony. This is the 6th episode. Unless anyone thinks otherwise, we love and hate all of our games equally. It's just that Phil Harrison, who looks like a penis, has said stupid things in the past month. So, Al, we, for $250 versus a $299 core Xbox 360, will that attract the customer? Will that be cheap enough to attract Joe Blow?
Wait. The Xbox core is $299?
Yep.
That's pretty tough because you know it could be like pretty rough in that kind of sense, because, you know, you got the people who are like Xbox 360, you know, there's no games for the Wii, there's Xbox 360, blah, blah, blah. It would really have to come down to the controller. Once it actually hits the market, and they start having people playing it, word of mouth is probably going to spread, and people are probably going to buy it, especially if it's $250. If it comes out with $199, it's going to be a steal.
Well, if the E3 was any indication, they'll have no problem in that department.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my problem with it is that their whole insistence on the mass market, $250 to me just doesn't sound like I'll buy the $250. But at the same time, it's like, to me, I mean, I guess I just have a different view on things, but to me, if Joe Blow's going to walk in there and be like, well, for $50 more, this kind of looks prettier. I don't
right.
know. I really don't know. Where it, like you said, $199 would be a steal, Al. I think they need to make it a steal in order to attract what they're trying to do, to try to expand to this market that has technically been untapped, according to them. You know, the Nintendo DS was a full $100 cheaper than the PSP, and people were saying that it might come out at $200. When I heard that the DS might come out at $200, I was like, that would be a big mistake.
Yeah.
With the gimmick, with the rumors that it was just gimmicky and nothing, and the fact that it was an ugly piece of hardware, and it still is. I love it, but it's still ugly.
Right.
Looking on the outside. Regular consumer's not going to come in and be like, yeah, I got to pay $200 for this and then $40 for a game card. They lost it at $150. They lowered the price to $130, like, less than a year later. They came out with a stupid dog game and sold like So, if Nintendo's going to play this right, they got to learn. I mean, they got to repeat what they did for the DS and don't go to a $250. Don't hit that ceiling. In fact, if they went some crazy weird price, like $189 or $179 or something, they're all about disrupting stuff, so, you know, that could work too.
Well,
moving on.
Go ahead. I just wanted to say one thing before we move on from this. If history has any indication of it, the Xbox, which was $300 when it first came out, and the PSP, which was the same price, the GameCube came out at a nice $200, went down to $150 really fast, faster than you could say mini disc. You know? So, I mean, serious. I mean, they do a lot of boneheaded things. I mean, just look at the Nintendo 64 where they didn't want to go to CD. They kept the cartridge, you know? Okay, so if history has any indication, maybe lowering it to that price will still not put a dent in that market.
Well, I'm not saying that it necessarily will, but I'm saying that it would be a mistake not to.
I think Al has a good point, though, in that... they may not really have an idea on what to release the system at, since it really is something a little bit different. And their marketing guys are trying to figure out what the right price point is. They may have a tough job. Obviously, they want to make the most they can, so they want to find that kind of golden price. Al may be right in the sense that, you know, once a few people get playing and the news spreads that the controls are amazing and there are great games for this thing and it's really a different experience than anything else, maybe they can keep a $250 price, maybe they wind up selling a bunch more copies because it becomes somewhat of an elite system because of its control scheme. And if it doesn't, maybe they do drop the price quickly.
Yeah.
But I don't know that opening it at $250 is that bad an idea if they're having a tough time figuring out, you know, how a system like this is going to sell when there's really been nothing that's departed from the mainstream so...
Yeah, that's true.
So much.
What's next?
Okay, next topic, and this is more of a rectification because last week Al and I were kind of making fun of, making fun of Peter Moore from Microsoft for saying, oh, people don't care about backwards compatibility. For those who don't know, the way that the Xbox 360's backwards compatibility works is on emulation. It's not in the hardware, so a lot of games don't work.
Wow.
And they have to sit there and develop code to make sure that the games work. So, for instance, one of my personal favorite games on the regular Xbox, Panzer Dragoon Orta, and another one, Project Gotham Racing 2, which actually is one of Microsoft's biggest titles on the original system, doesn't work. So they have coders sit there and code emulation to make sure that it works. And so,
wait, so when they code emulation, that downloads to the system, or you have to buy another game?
It downloads into the system. It downloads into the system via Xbox Live, so you don't have to purchase anything more. But
Peter Moore
last week was like saying, oh, no one's concerned anymore with backwards compatibility. Well, last week I said that, well, I would like to kind of save the space and chuck my Xbox or sell it or something so that I can play all my old games at 360. Good news is that it's still supporting it. This guy, John Percaro from the marketing team, posted a blog entry that basically says, we're not done yet. We know for a fact that there are lots of people who continue to care about backwards compatibility. including the quote-unquote emulation ninjas who are working full-time on the update, and for those of us posting on this blog, and of course many of you. So question is, how many of you guys actually make use of that backwards compatibility in your PS2s, and if you don't, how much would you actually make use of it, and how important is it to you?
That's a good question. I mean, personally,
it's not that hard of a question to me. Let's just look at it, look at how Nintendo's backwards compatibility, which was zero. I mean, zero. Okay,
absolutely,
there was like
none. No
backwards compatibility whatsoever.
Wait,
okay?
Except for the portables.
Oh, yeah, Game Boy Advance.
Oh,
who cares? When it comes to the consoles, they had 0 backwards compatibility. I would have loved, okay, to have them make the Super Nintendo play my Nintendo Entertainment System games, because I was tired of blowing on those games just to make them work for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Okay? I was just really, really, and you know, the hatred for wasting 5 minutes on trying to play a game for this antiquated system, okay, when they've got a new one that could, you know, essentially play these games perfectly, okay? That kind of scorned me. Also, they put, like, all these different things on it. Oh, it's not backwards compatible, but it has an expansion slot. So one day, soon, it'll be something different, and they never use it. So
I mean, I would not disagree, but depart from, I think, the mainstream here and say that, for me, I don't really care about backwards compatibility at all.
You got a lot of nerve saying that. You know why? You just bought a PS2 again, so it's a rebuy, okay? You went and rebought it for what? You've got nothing but PlayStation games in your house. So backwards compatibility is a big major issue to you.
No,
and also playing DVD.
The reason I bought a PS2 again is because it's cheap and I need a DVD player.
You bought the world's worst controlling DVD player. I mean, like,
but at least I can play games on it. That was why I bought it. Because it's better than just buying a DVD player. Because I can play PS2 games. And I can go buy more games. And I gave all my games to my girlfriend's brother. I mean, that's like a kind of weird situation.
So, you know, what would have been the, you know, the perfect answer to that was not to give away your PlayStation 2 in the first place.
Okay.
Would have been in a, better position.
Maybe that's true, but you know what? I'm a generous person. Go screw yourself. And secondly, in terms of the real backwards compatibility issue, on the PC, when you think backwards compatibility, it's not usually that big an issue.
Right.
It takes a number of years to really have a problem, and even then there's like open source software that'll let you run pretty much any game emulation.
Mm-hmm.
But in the console stuff, like, to me, I would maybe rather keep a bunch of systems around if I wanted to play the older games, which I don't very often, and then have them, instead of putting work into creating the backwards compatibility, put more work into something else, anything else.
Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to get rid of my N64 if it could play on a GameCube.
All you do is sort your house. All you need to do is, like, put your systems, your eight systems, stack them up on a TV, and you're done.
It gets in the way of my sorting.
Now, what do you think about backwards compatibility?
I don't know. I just played some Strider 2. That was on my PlayStation 2. I can't play it on my PlayStation because
play it upside down.
No, because
yeah,
it's just that it's hooked up, it's pimped out, and
it's what
pimped out
and hooked up, and the PlayStation 1's like sitting in the closet.
Oh
no, well, my PlayStation 1 is sitting under my bed, pimped out, and my PlayStation 2 is factory design, you know.
Ooh.
And playing Strider 2 in my factory design PS2 works just fine. Putting it into my pimped out PS1 produces a Japanese error message saying,
I can play import games.
You can't play this game on this system. That's one thing. And of course, we had to go around that, circumvent that, and do the old patch job. But it's good to be able to pull out ye old PlayStation 2 games that were purchased and put them into your PS2. Play them, you know.
Well, the problem with this is that now they've got emulators on a computer that allow you to play them on a computer. So,
well, yeah, we know this, but that's,
is backwards at that aspect? Is backwards compatibility really essential then? If there's going to be something that allow you to play it some other way,
I believe it is because of the fact that playing it this other way isn't exactly 100% legal. So
yeah, that's always been a. This is the guy
who's
going to play
import
games.
What the hell?
Well, see, listen. For people who don't have the means, procure the equipment and things like that.
What the hell is that?
Okay. You know, it's a little difficult for people to do that type of thing.
Yeah.
So they would need to kind of go, you know, to the backwards compatibility.
Okay.
Also, there are some people who, you know, well, not some people, but there are some companies who make it incredibly difficult, you know, to actually make it work. I mean, mm-hmm. Let's forget about the fact that the Xbox 360 was probably just cracked, and I think it was, like, about a week ago by somebody, but it's not the easiest thing in the world to get these things to work
illegally.
Anyway, so it's like when they give you an out, when they give you an opportunity to use these old games, and they're doing it legally, and they're giving you an out, like the Nintendo Virtual Console on the Revolution, which is going to let you download, you know, every single game. Well, I don't know for sure.
I'm sorry, who's
a lot
talking?
Of games.
It's Austin.
Hello.
Austin, okay, Austin. you need a boom mic operator because you keep on dropping in and out of the background.
Well, that's sexy. Anyway, like I was saying.
Okay, go on.
Just think about think about the impact that iTunes has had on music.
Uh-huh.
And just think about how Xbox Live Arcade, which lets you download small arcade games, or the Nintendo Virtual Console, which will let you download Super Nintendo, and Nintendo 64 games.
Okay.
And any other backwards compatible console that lets you play your old stuff instead of having to, you know, like in the music world, circumvent the RIAA and risk getting caught.
Right, right, no, but there's a larger issue here, which is the division of a client-based driven software application where you have hardware in your house that runs the application, you have to download that, versus a terminal system where you really just have a gateway and there are servers somewhere else that are running all your software for you and piping it to you over broadband data lines. And as broadband gets better, the backwards compatibility issue just goes away because you won't need any system in your house to play old games. You'll basically just need to pay whatever the service is, and it'll be piped over, and other services
like GameTap.
Yeah,
well,
I was going to say GameTap.
Actually, exactly. No. Actually, think about it this way: if I've got all my old PS2 games, and you're saying that my next hardware, I won't have to have a backwards compatible system because I can just download them from the web.
Well then, yeah. What are you going to do with the games?
Yes.
If they're going to charge me again to download the game, that is the whole point. One disc. I paid once for it.
Right.
That's
But the business model is not going to be, they're not going to charge you per game. You'll be paying a service fee to play any game, new or old. There's no reason to separate it out into, like, you know, you pay us another fee to play your backwards compatible games.
But the thing is, why should people want to pay a service fee when they have the disc there already?
Because the future systems won't be a system. You'll just be doing the service anyway, and you'll be playing brand new games over that service. You won't even have a console in your house. There's no reason for the console.
Because of the mystical console called the Phantom, which has been a failure thus far, has not produced anything of note. And also the fact that there are still people out there who like to have collections, who like to have tangible things. I don't, like, I rarely, I think I've only bought one album off of iTunes, even though I should buy any. Like, every single one that I have, I should have bought from iTunes. I haven't, because I simply don't like not having a tangible thing there. It's not the download speed that bothers me. It's the fact, it's the implication of having downloadable content as your only source. And
right.
It's not a matter of me being stodgy and old. It's just I like to have something that I can hold.
I know. I do the same thing. The issue isn't that you can or can't. That's exactly what the issue is. As you get fiber laid into houses, there is no reason to produce a console anymore. So whether or not you think it's a great idea, that's what's coming. And it's in a sense a better thing because you have less compatibility issues, fewer compatibility issues. You have no reason to collect a bunch of things, and you're really just using your electronic gateway through somebody else's hardware that you're leasing time from and storage from. And I mean, this is the Google model, it's the Oracle model. It's as that broadband speed increases and increases and increases to the same speed as like a bus, there's no reason to have any equipment in your house.
Did anybody realize?
I think the service providers will win.
I'm sorry, guys. Anybody realize that Al is gone?
No, I'm here.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I'm just really feeling the conversation here.
I'm looking at the Skype, and it's like you're offline.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Tony.
Because if I was gone, we'd all be gone.
That's a good point. Yeah, right. let's get back on track here. But I don't know if it's necessarily that I don't think it will happen. I just don't think it's a good idea. Because, like the whole aspect of you won't have to collect things anymore. No, I want to collect them.
Right, I want to have them. Yeah, and it's this idea of what possession is that I think may even change in a cultural way. It's not even just a, like, you know, how will you interact with your electronic devices, game devices, computer devices, TV, all that stuff. What happens to the culture the things that you hold on to that represent a game, like a disc or a cartridge or a console, as those things kind of start to go away, like they already are, like nobody, or rental of DVDs has declined. You have companies like Netflix and Blockbuster Online trying to fill that void, but eventually they'll be gone. It's all going to be on demand. It's all going to be over cable network. How do you start to think about what those things are, and do you keep that need to have a thing when maybe you start to see the software as what it really is, which is just a bunch of code somewhere?
Well, before we move on, this is actually a very interesting topic. Maybe we should actually dedicate a whole episode to this.
Okay.
But what I think is missing here, and it may not necessarily hinder or help your argument, but think about a game versus movies or music. You're interacting with it with a certain type of interface.
Sure.
The way that you interact with an Xbox 360 game is going to be totally different than you interact with a Revolution game with its control scheme, which is going to be almost totally different from the way that you interact with a PS3 game that now has a motion-sensitive controller. You know, the console may go away because you're just going to have service providers, but then there's going to be someone who says, you know what, I've got this great idea for interaction, and people may just gobble it up. People say, well, you know, I still want to hang on to this unique idea of how I interact with my games. No standard network will offer me that. So you're basically going back to what is essentially a toy maker to say, this is how you're going to interact with this stuff.
That's a great point. I mean, you can't ever take away
the physicality in your hands and the neatness of what they present.
Well, but
yeah,
I think the bottom line, you can, but it's too far off. We're talking
I think the bottom line, what Ethan was trying to get to, is that, yeah, eventually we'll see the DVD go the way of the dinosaur, but, you know, nostalgia sells. I mean, really, it does. I am so nostalgic of every single game I own, not just because of the experience I had interacting with it, but because it's no longer there. They know this is gone, okay? This will never be here again, okay?
Right,
and the aspect of the DVDs and stuff, you don't really interact with them, but imagine that is no longer there, and you still have it, okay? There's nostalgia value to there that is very important to everybody, no matter what medium, you know, it is, okay? And I think in terms of backwards compatibility, that sort of takes some of the nostalgia away from it. Because if you can get rid of your system that only plays these games, okay, then you not only have the absence of the system, but the absence of the whole experience, okay? So, for instance, let's say in the case of Sega CD, okay? Think about nobody ever has made anything that'll play Sega CDs. I mean, like, it's just like, okay, but I had a few great games on there.
Maybe the
and
virtual
it's done.
Maybe the
it's
virtual
done.
Console, if it ever gets storage space, will let you down.
Maybe,
but
maybe.
Can you get emulated games for the PC on that thing?
I never seen anything for the
Not
only that, I've never seen anything for the Sega CD per se. But let me tell you something. I do have the first portable Sega CD. Okay, remember they sold that at $300.
Oh, the CDX.
Yeah, CDX.
I had that.
Okay, that was the cartridge CD combo, which you could carry around like you ever would, unless you wanted to get seriously beat down and robbed. Okay,
pretty much.
Yeah, especially mine. Okay, but but just to know that you have that and it works, that's an awesome feeling. That's something that you experience, and I think that's a point there too. So.
We must discuss this next week in full. Because
you're right. It's a bigger topic, Austin.
But before my brain melts, though, I'm still sick. let's quickly get to the next topic, which is some more Sony madness. And whose dog is that?
I apologize for the dogs. So it appears that my fiance is home, and the dogs are going nuts. So
Whee!
Yeah, we indeed.
Okay. But let's see. Okay.
And I've titled this Sony's PS3, the tax-sheltered PC, which covers about two or three things that went on in the Sony world. And sorry, guys, this is going to be the sixth week of making fun of Ken Kutaragi or Phil Hansen, but they said it, not us. They said it. Okay, here you go. According to an interview conducted by PC Watch in Japan, Ken Kutaragi claims that, speaking about the PS3, we never said we will release a game console. It is radically different from the previous PlayStation. It is clearly a computer.
What's it?
Indeed, with a game console, you need to take out any unnecessary elements inside the console in order to decrease its costs. This will, of course, apply to the PS3 as well.
What?
The PS3 is a computer, Kutaragi continued. Lowering cost is important, but more important is its capacity to evolve. Never mind that I'm doing this on a PC. I think that the hard disk drive will gain a capacity. If a new technology gets into mainstream PCs, the PS3 will have to adopt it as well. The hard disk drive is not the only element which gives the PS3 its computer nature. Everything has been planned and designed so it will become a computer. Vio, the previous PlayStation had a memory slot in its unique interface. In contrast, the PS3 features PC standard interfaces. Because they are standard, they are open. We put up no restrictions. Because it is a computer, it can interact with anything freely. If someone is familiar with PC building, he or she can upgrade easily the PlayStation 3's hard disk drive. I don't want to fucking upgrade my console. That's the reason why I buy a console, and that's the reason why I separately buy a PC. I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. You guys talk because I'm going to explode.
Yeah.
I have a couple of...
He's emphatic. I got to say, he's emphatic about this.
There's a couple things I'd like to say to get it going besides Austin already said. What he's really talking about is, like, what is the definition of a PC?
Yes.
And where's the line between console and PC, right? So, first of all, for him to say that, you know, it's a computer, and a computer means that it can interact with a bunch of things easily. Anybody who has a PC
I'm going to put TurboTax on it.
Well, anybody that has a PC knows that's a load of crap. You could try to install, you know, a digital camera, and the thing may actually smoke and blow up in your house. Unless they're notoriously incompatible with everything that you buy, even Macs, despite those cool new ads that they are.
Listen, I doubt very much people in you know, who like porn is going to go out and buy the system because it's going to replace their computer.
That's an
excellent
point.
It's just
that's
not going to happen.
Point. They're totally missing
it's
out
just
on the
not
porn market
happen.
And everybody that has a PC wants
to You know that's what's in VHS, though.
That's
yeah,
right.
It's a stupid thing to even say. I mean, like, I've never thought of any one system that I've ever had replacing my computer, even though it should. I think for the most... Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got worried. I heard a noise, and noises worry me.
You have a little bit of a confidence issue. You think everybody's just going to leave you there talking, don't
no,
you?
No. It's not even that. You know, I'm very superstitious. I hear noises, and the devil must be here. So, you know, I have to confirm it. Anyway,
let's keep moving.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, I've never thought of any one console, okay, that would actually replace a major part of, like, anything in my house. Like, if they made a console that was portable and could play... I'm serious, exactly. If it stored, like, a, you know, cold chicken in there, I'm not gonna, you know, get rid of my fridge.
I swear to God, if they come out with a console that stores a cold chicken, I'm buying it.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, I think it's just, they've always been trying to do something that makes the console a little bit of a computer clone,
right,
you know?
Right.
But a bastardized version of one, like a really bad clone experiment, okay?
But this is the whole argument. This is the whole piece.
Yeah, but,
like, where,
and
where
this
does,
my
where
point.
Does one start and one end?
My point. This is my point. When you market the PlayStation 2 as having an Ethernet connection and,
you
know, the USB.
Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. The USB ports and, you know, can run like or even Dreamcast, it could run Windows what was
CE.
It? Yeah, Windows CE.
How
have we ever
right?
used
CE?
That? Have we ever used it?
Well, you kind of did. It's just that it's behind the scenes.
I've never used it.
This is different, though. This is different. They used Windows CE. They used the kernel, the core of the operating system, to manage itself. Not really for us to use it as an operating system, but that's just simply what the system ran on. It wasn't really, you can use Windows CE.
Well, then how about the MPEG soft deck that they would, you could watch movies on here one day.
They were using that to compress full motion video.
Yeah, I understand.
That's what they used it for.
Yeah, but no. No. I'm saying that there was a much more bigger plan here. There was a plan to make this a multimedia, like sort of to replace some of the things that your computer does, and it just never happened.
It never happened because EA killed the Dreamcast, and I hate EA. Go ahead.
I looked up console and computer in the dictionary, and I have both definitions, and I think they're kind of funny. So,
Wow.
All right, console means as a noun. Besides to, you know, allay the sorrow and grief. I think that's a different...
That's all console. So,
but you might apply that to, like, the PS3, you know. Like.
Oh, I'm sad. Let's go to my PlayStation 3. It's going to console me.
Exactly.
Oh, there.
Let me use the Let me use the consolation deck.
Hard on me.
Well, it's not just a computer. It's a therapist.
Play some heavenly sword. You will feel
okay,
better.
Go on.
$600.
Right. Go ahead. So the definition of console is a cabinet for a radio, television set, or phonograph designed to stand on the floor. B, a small freestanding storage cabinet. 2, the desk-like part of an organ, wink wink, that contains the keyboard, stops, and pedals.
I always have my organ on the desk.
A central control panel for a mechanical, electronic, or electrical system, or an instrument panel. Here's the one that I like the best. The portion of a computer or peripheral that houses the apparatus used to operate the machine manually and provides a means of communication between the computer operator and the central processing unit, often in the form of a keyboard. That is, as Austin will know, and as Al probably will know, is the like a DOS prompt. It's a different type of console.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that the feeling for console seems to be more of a, it's an intermediary between kind of two things than an actual thing itself. Whereas the definition for a computer is pretty straightforward, a device that computes, especially a programmable electronic machine that performs high-speed mathematical or logical operations, where the assembles, stores, and otherwise processes.
Well, essentially, I'd like to say that I don't need these definitions to know what a computer is. If you give me a system, that
well,
I could...
Hold on.
If you give me a system in which I could put a mouse and a keyboard, like they have in the past, that way I could, like, go online and type and, like, move the mouse around and, you know, still does not give me the feeling of a computer. What gives me the feeling of a computer is the way it crashes on me. That's
you know what? That's
essentially
a great
point.
You know what we're doing? Do you realize we are writing our next podcast right now? Okay, so topics will be...
Sorry,
downloadable distribution and the future of that shit, and PCs versus console, which one has a bigger wang?
And what's the difference?
I'll tell you why the PS3 is a PC from Sony's standpoint.
Okay.
And this comes from Gameblog Kotaku. This is what they wrote. You might remember Sony trying this before, about 6 years ago. For the PS2's European launch, Sony made a concerted push to classify it as a computer, not a game console. The reason is because importing game consoles into the European Union is a huge tax drain for companies, whereas computers are not. Sony was so desperate to get out of paying those multi-million dollar tax bills that they actually released Linux for the PlayStation 2 in what has to be the most useless first-party title ever, except for the fact that it convinced the European Union to finally consider the PS2 a computer. It is essentially a Sony tax shelter, thanks to Florian Eckhardt of Kotaku for reporting that. But yeah, it's like...
Hence the name Sony Computer Entertainment.
True.
You know what, that's not a... it's not a bad... It's not a terrible idea.
That is really smart.
Of course.
They know how to handle their monies.
Yay. Yeah. They're not getting enough from their
especially because they lost a whole shit ton of money from the immersion lawsuit, whereupon they lost vibration in their controllers. No more vibrating controllers from Sony. Just waving them around.
You know what? So long as it doesn't have pressure buttons, I'm fine.
No, they should provide
really
like small electric impulses that like shock you.
God, I mean, look at the pressure buttons. It's unbelievable.
Right. Now, here's a topic that that I'm sure that we could go years on about, but Louisiana. All right, this is coming on the heels of
this is another Jack Clinton is a moron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
This is
can you guys hold on 1 second?
We will continue to talk because you are unimportant.
Go ahead, do it. You're right.
Yeah, keep on going.
This is on the hills of in Minnesota. They signed a bill that requires makes it a punishable offense to buy a game if you are 15 and it's a mature or an adult-only game. In other words, if you're underage and you're buying a game. And you get fined $25 for that. We reported on this last week. This is in Minnesota. Mm. Now, the Louisiana one is, well, let me just read from the article that I wrote. Jack and Roy wrote up a bill to pee on video games. Jack and Roy want to arrest your butt if you purchase a game while underage. Jack and Roy's bill is 100% absurd and serves as a mockery of the state of Louisiana, and I'll tell you why. It's basically based on this obscenity law that has been upheld in Louisiana previously for other medium. Now, it aims to make it 100% illegal to sell or rent a game to a minor, who I think they're probably going to try to classify as someone who's under 49, mm-hmm. if it meets any one of these conditions. First, if the average person would think that the game appeals to the minor's morbid interest in violence.
Now, so, why? No, I second, have to stop here. I'm sorry. Morbid interest in violence. Why does the minor have to have a morbid interest in violence? Keep going.
What about second, a non-morbid interest in violence?
what about just a curiosity in violence? How about
stop,
that?
Stop. Second, if it depicts violence in a manner patently offensive to prevailing standards, and lastly, if the game lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value for minors. What the fuck is...
Scientific value? Ooh, I would love to see that one. Let me
what
tell
the
you
hell is, what the hell is Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift, doing in movie theaters if we can't have games that just let us blow stuff up?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Can I say something?
No,
wait, I had
all,
a point
no, wait
before.
A minute. The Tokyo Drift thing, there is a lot of science in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen. Yeah, it's
a lot of bad science. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Tony.
Here's my thing. Okay, they want to talk about scientific evidence to support this law. I would love to see the study that shows a 15-year-old kid, okay, dying by the age of 32 or having throat cancer, other than smoking cigarettes, which they also do. I mean, come on, to even compare this to something that's something that a teenager would do, okay? Like cigarettes or drinking or anything else like that. Underage drinking is bigger than violent video games, okay?
No, it's not.
You know why? Huh?
That is ridiculous.
I'm sorry?
Underage video games is the worst thing for kids right now.
You're ridiculous. No, seriously.
How can you not see that?
You can't even play devil's advocate on this with a straight face. It's just
I can't even play devil's advocate in Louisiana.
I want to bring up something, Al. So expand upon your beef with the morbid interest in violence comic.
Well, honestly, I mean, I'm guessing since it kind of came from some previously enforced obscenity laws, they probably had these exact same quotes related to the other things. So basically,
right.
It would be illegal for, say, a 15-year-old to purchase pornography or mm-hmm. maybe an R-rated movie.
That just shows how backwards Louisiana is.
If it would appeal to that minor's morbid interest in violence or sex or something mm-hmm. like that. Okay. Now I'm like, okay, why does it have to appeal to their interest in morbid interest in violence? Why can't I get Grand Theft Auto because I enjoy the exploration?
Good point.
Because
why
there's
do
nothing
I have
to explore in that game. Seriously?
There's plenty to explore.
Let him finish.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
I have Grand Theft Auto 3 for the PC. I have not gone past the first city. And I mm-hmm. hear that game has like four different parts to it, and they're huge-ass areas. I've never seen one bit of it. And I would uh-huh. like to, but I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just, there's certain things about the game mechanics I just can't really get with. I can't proceed in the game because I get a little too caught up in intermediaries.
But it's not because it's too bloody or violent.
Right. It's not because it's violent. You know, I honestly think that minors do not buy the game to punch hoes and kick them while they're in the ground and shoot uh-huh. them up.
That's just naive.
I think, honestly, to speak on that person, I honestly think that some do. And you know what I say to that? That kid's fucked up from the get-go, and it's
that's
not
right.
his fault.
That's
it's
know,
not the game's
no,
fault.
Okay, I think this is just another example of parents not wanting, okay, to take care of the kids themselves.
Thank
they want
you.
To leave their kids alone with a video game or with the TV, but they want to do it without looking at themselves as bad parents, okay?
Thank you.
I got to tell you something. When Atari first came out, okay, and I played E.T., and I saw E.T. dropping down a hole, I didn't go and try to drop down a hole. Okay, and try to smoke by my neck. Okay, it just didn't happen.
You know what's funny? To this day, he insists that's how he proves he's intelligent.
No, that's
not. He did not follow that.
You're so stupid. My point is, I never distinguish what was fantasy and what was not.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And like I've been playing video games for like pretty close to pretty close to 25 years, 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I've been playing it that long, and never, even when I was out, you know, playing Jungle King in the arcades, okay, did I want to make makeshift vines so I could swing from them. Well, I mean, come on, it's ridiculous.
You know what, though? Unfortunately, this is a much larger topic as well, unfortunately, because it really is it's trying to figure out to what extent entertainment influences life, and
they just want to regulate morality again.
Well,
and I just think
I mean, you have to at least accept that in some way, when you play a video game or when you watch a movie, that it does influence what you do. It does. If you see somebody wearing a cool pair of sunglasses, you might say, "Wow, I'm going to go buy those pair of glasses."
Sure,
it's influencing how you live your life. Trying to figure out then really the nuances of, like, you know, what action in a movie or on a video game or in a book makes people do something, and how you regulate that is a big question.
Before I actually state the penalty for this, which I forgot to read and move on, is that I agree with you in that it does influence within a person's, like, morals. For example, you know, I might see it could become like an internet meme, something that's been said in a game, something that, like, some quote that's funny. You'll say it over and over again, it'll be funny. Watching E3, the guy at the Sony press conference talking about Revolution 8 gameplay, and then talking about, we have to knock over this giant enemy crab to stab its weak point, and repeating that over and over again, yeah, sure. But it's not going to influence me to kill somebody, because it's not within my moral standards.
Yeah, I'm going to say something really unpopular, and I'm just going to type it to you guys.
Okay,
Austin might actually hit me for this.
Okay, type away, but while you're typing, the penalty is violators could be fined between $100 and $2,000 and sentenced up to 12 months in a state prison. Here's the IM, let's see.
That's a really good point. I mean,
they want to talk about immorals and decency. Right. There's no other forum for that.
We can talk about that, though. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I don't know.
We can, but you just need to be careful because this will take hours.
You're right.
Hours.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to say it because
I'll say it next time then, because it needs to be said. That's a good point.
So the next topic, we had an excellent one, but I got to skip over that. The Dutch open a detox center.
Oh, this is a great one.
Payment addicts. All right. Wait, I got to read this.
Yeah. I've got
you have to read this.
Okay. from gaming blog Kotaku, always remaining great. Keith Backer, director of Amsterdam-based Smith & Jones addiction consultant, is opening a detox clinic for
I just need to say, interrupt.
No, let him. You got to let him finish.
It's in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Backer, yeah.
Home of all places addiction.
Exactly.
Backer has already treated 20 video game addicts aged 13 to 30 since January. Some show withdrawal symptoms such as shaking, sweating when they look at a computer. We have kids who don't. Wait.
We have
kids who don't know how to communicate with people face to face because they spent the last 3 years talking to somebody in Korea through a computer. Their social network has completely disappeared. End quote. The rest of the article reads, "I, of all people, hate to be the voice of reason, but gaming does not destroy social skills. Neither does it improve them. I play games far more than it is healthy, yet I'm really a sociable guy. Social skills are largely ingrained, but they're just as largely about getting over any nagging insecurities you might have about just getting out there. Gaming doesn't make you antisocial any more than sitting alone in your apartment all day makes you antisocial. At worst, it's something you do while you're already recluse from the hot world of martini bars and sultry dance club bays."
Mm-hmm. Woohoo! Okay.
I'd just like to point out that
we are talking
over a computer and being social about video games. Proving that wrong.
Listen, and I just want to say that I've I would rather be strung out on mercenaries than heroin any day, okay?
Yeah,
and
agree.
You cannot tell me that going to a detox center, okay, and seeing these people shake have the same kind of effects that a hallucinogenic drug has. Are you kidding me? I mean, like, think about it. Maybe the guy was sweating because they didn't have AC, okay? Maybe the guy was shaking because he's epileptic.
Okay.
Do not cure him for games.
Okay.
I doubt very much the games had it. Listen, I just wanted to bring an extreme point.
I know. Ethan, what were you saying?
I was going to say that if anything, it's probably the opposite. I think typically the people who are antisocial, the author has it right, where you're. It's when you get over certain insecurities that you have that you feel comfortable speaking your mind. That's when you stop being antisocial. And if anything, video games help
stop
you
being a game addict.
That's right. But if anything, video games or even an addiction to video games, whether there is one or not, that's like a different topic, will probably help you get over that, especially given the trend for games where cooperation is required. Games where communication is required.
Good point.
But
I'm shaking and scratching my chin because I need that crack cocaine.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I got to smoke that Battlefield.
I'm sorry. You know what I think this is? I think they want to open up a new venue of health insurance. I think they actually think this is a money-making idea.
Well,
just another thing that you could take a pill for and Pfizer could put it out. And, it's probably conspiracy theory, but, you know, what's the recourse? How do you pay for detox on a video game? How do you go and, you know, and justify that? This is ridiculous.
I think that, yeah, I mean, that it's a good, like, it's really about what is... It's really about what is addiction. I mean, and can you be addicted to anything that's considered an escape? I would assume that if you have the right personality, you can get addicted to anything. You can get addicted to flashlights. You can get addicted to your stamp collection.
Yes, you can. Anything that you have to be pulled away from is considered an addiction.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm back. Right. Did anybody talk between the scenes between your balls?
I think there are weirder things that you could be addicted to. I think if you see a guy, okay, that's well, you don't see him, but there's a guy at home playing video games all day, I'll tell you what, that guy's not fucking out killing somebody. Okay?
True.
Plain and simple.
Mm,
all right?
Good point.
Yeah, but he's also
simple.
Not out, you know, doing things that would win him a Nobel Prize. I don't know.
But maybe he wasn't Nobel Prize.
Maybe he's playing Nobel Prize the game, preparing for himself.
Well, I mean, the key is, though, again, it's the escape piece. It's like, why do people take heroin? Well, they don't want to live in reality. So there's that difference.
Good point.
Right, so that's what the addiction part is. And of course, in Amsterdam, I'm sure they're flooded with lots of different things that are addicting and are used as escape. And some parents...
I need that crack cocaine!
It's the parents who see their kids, like, locked up in their bedrooms for hours and hours and hours at a time, who don't bathe and don't do anything. I mean, I've done this before.
Yeah.
Do I consider... I think we all have. I know we all have.
Definitely.
Right.
I don't know what you want to do. I shower.
So do we? Well, but do we consider, is that an addiction? I mean, it might be.
Here's a good point, Ethan. I got to bring this up to you. Remember when we had Dreamcast weekend, a whole weekend?
Yeah.
Nobody showered.
Yeah.
Nobody went and saw the light of day. We ordered in food. Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't leave the house.
I know.
When
we
you
were
left
like
my house,
in a crack house.
Exactly. When you left my house, did you come back for your fix? I mean, like,
May I say one thing about that?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
That's disgusting. Shower your ass. It's dirty.
First of all, if you've ever gone camping, you'll know that you don't need to shower for weeks. And second of all, I actually...
You also use pine cones for toilet paper. Go ahead.
I remember now that addiction, part of the definition of addiction is whether you experience withdrawal symptoms when it is taken away. So Tony's point is right in that... the only reason why people say marijuana is not physically addictive is because it actually is, but it's naturally weaned out of your blood so slowly that you don't experience withdrawal. But there it is, physically addictive. If it were out of your blood immediately, you would experience withdrawal symptoms. Now, if you can remove video games from a video game quote-unquote addict, what happens? If the guy is saying that they really are shaking and their behavior is altered,
well, then they need to make a PlayStation. No, they need to make a PlayStation 2 version of methadone. I mean, serious. Okay. Or put you on a PlayStation 2 IV.
No, it's like
they need to make Playzac.
Playzak. No, it would be like forcing them to go to like bingo for 12 hours at a time or something. That's the Macedonia. Like,
oh, come on. I'm sorry, bingo is a much worse addiction. You see some of those women there? Oh, come on, man. That's sad. I've never sat down at my PlayStation 2 with a Wishnik doll or any like those treasure trolls. Okay.
But this is actually a really
Of course it is, and it's one that we could one be serious at the same time be me, you know, and just be ridiculous because it is ridiculous. Okay.
Well,
ridiculous.
Even if there is an addiction, if it's unhealthy,
I think there is an addiction.
Well, truthfully, there is an addiction.
Let's say there is.
But how unhealthy is it? And what is it in terms of priorities of other addictions out there?
Well, I lost my kids. Lost the house, the ranch.
That's pretty bad.
My swimming pool. Who asked to shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force? I never had kids or a ranch.
Okay, Al, I think, Al, you should feel this one since I think you've been waiting to break out.
I think we should move on.
Oh snap. He was just
very good.
Down.
You know what? Shut up.
Let me talk about video game addicts because I control my habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could go without it.
Okay.
I could if I wanted to. I could quit anytime.
If you took all this stuff from me tomorrow, I'd just go about my life. Do my thing.
Moving on.
You'd be arguing a lot more, let me tell you.
Every time I don't play video games for a while, I get really bad diarrhea, so I'm pretty sure I'm
moving on. You always have that anyway. So.
Moving on from toiletries. I'm going to skip over these last news topics because they're nowhere near as interesting as addictive gaming or Sony's stupid PC or Iwata playing with his Wii. Topic discussion now. Someone brought up in the GameSpot forums earlier on my blog there, a good topic to talk about would be any genres that we've been playing that we love that we don't really think has been getting that much attention lately. And I know all of us have one of those.
Would you like to go first?
Yeah.
Cooperative gameplay. Anything. I don't give a damn.
Mm.
Except for sports, because there's always cooperative gameplay. But
right.
Good
you
point.
Don't see cooperative gameplay platformers. You don't see cooperative gameplay shooters. You don't see cooperative gameplay FPSs on
well,
consoles.
Well, like, a lot of time it's built into the game as an option, but you just don't see anybody playing it that
well,
way.
I'll
no,
tell you
a lot of times it's not even in the game because they think that people don't play it.
You know, to answer that, I think their medium for making an interactive game is role-playing. Because I've not seen one role-player that was unsuccessful in getting other people to play in this world of fantasy with different characters and stuff like that. I mean, just look at Final Fantasy XI. That was the one that was online, okay? Huge sales. We've got the EverQuest series, okay? It's
EverQuest cocaine!
You know, and it's mainly geared towards role-playing because they think most people won't get into the whole cooperative aspect, and they couldn't be more wrong. They couldn't be more wrong because I couldn't imagine playing and enjoying Ghost Recon just by myself that more than I did when I was playing with Ethan or
yeah,
my other
but I think Al's
like
point
that.
Is taken at least in that. I mean, I personally think the co-op part of the games are the most fun as opposed to
absolutely.
What Al's talking about is the proliferation of every man for himself online shooter. Nobody cooperates.
Yeah, I mean, I could even kind of embellish on that a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Think about this. Nintendo, king of co-op games. You had Contra. You had...
Double Dragon 2.
Revenge.
Don't forget Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt, Gyromite, dude. Gyromite
is the king of cooperative games if you didn't have a robot. Play it without a friend.
Dude, as a matter of fact, you didn't want a robot.
Let's continue. Let's go on.
Right, sorry.
You had classic games like in the vein of the Contra. And
yes.
Now you have games that would have really nice multiplayer co-op things where it's pure co-op, where it's like, say, the four of us versus the game, mm-hmm. not the four of us versus another four people in another part of the world.
Right, okay, I see what you're saying, yeah.
And, like, for example, I was always thinking how cool it would be to have Mario Brothers, traditional Mario Brothers, as a co-op game.
Mm.
But every single iteration of multiplayer in the original Mario Brothers form has always
Smash
been
Brothers.
Versus.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, for example, New Super Mario Brothers has a Mario versus Luigi mode. The Mario Deluxe for Game Boy Advance had a Mario versus Luigi mode. But now, what if you could have Mario and Luigi working together to get from left to right?
Didn't they
ever
have
that game? The babies, yeah. What is it? Mario...
Yoshi's Island?
No. Mario, the one for,
Clambake.
The one for Game Boy Advance. No. It was for the DS.
64?
Yeah, the DS.
Plus a versus minigame. They had four people run around and collect the star. But it
wasn't possible
to get
I remember
through
playing this.
Game.
Mm. All right. No,
I don't know.
Regardless, you're right. There's not enough.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, stuff like Neo-Contra came out. You got Alien Hominid. You've got...
Oh, that's good.
You've got some lesser value games like Hunter and Gauntlet. Those things are, they're generally genuine multiplayer co-op, but they just don't have what it takes. But I think that a lot of games that come out now, they really do need like some co-op. Like, I'm really happy about the Guitar Hero 2 co-op, because it puts co-op into a very, very unique and special atmosphere.
It's
either
going to
be a guitarist bassist or guitarist.
Right, it's going to be rhythm lead or lead bass.
Oh,
you know what they should
do?
Dude, they have a huge opportunity here to make it a multi-instrumental kind of experience. Like, for instance,
in Japan.
Oh, really? I'm like a drummer. Instead of buying Mario Congo,
I'm
sorry.
Guitar Freak and what was the other game called? Beatmania, yeah. Guitar Freak and Beatmania or something that you could cooperate, but they didn't do it very well. But they could do it well this time around if they did it right. What were you saying? You're a drummer, right?
I'm a drummer, and I would love to have you on guitar, someone on bass, and then just do the cooperative on the drums, and just laugh at each other when we just totally do a bonehead thing. Okay?
Use the Nintendo bongos.
Or the
PlayStation 2 taiko drums. Use something like
that. Right, like the taiko drums would probably be a better idea.
Yeah, but that's just exclusively drums, correct?
Yeah,
but
controllers and drum controllers.
Yeah, build in the functionality of doing that. They could even market the handle separate, like they haven't done that before. Okay. Well, I mean, let's just say if the market was that consistent, I would love to see something like that being made. It's probably going to be a pipe dream. It'd probably never be made. Okay, but I would love to see that. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Love to see.
So, anybody else got a genre that they want to kick in the high gear? Ethan, I know what you're going to say, probably.
He'll probably say RTS,
yeah,
right?
I don't know about a whole genre.
Adventure gaming.
Yeah, that'd be it. I'm pissed off. Adventure games that have come... First of all, the whole genre's kind of died. There's really not a lot of good stuff out that's adventure gaming. If you go to like a demo site or GameSpot or whatever, and you search for adventure games, it's pathetic. There's like three games that have come out in the last year.
Right.
I don't know. I just remember playing even the text-based adventure games and having so much fun. And then when they turned kind of mouse icon game, that was fine. It was still
Scum
a ton
rocks.
Of fun. As the graphics got better and better, it was really cool. And it was almost like, it's kind of like a good adventure game seems to me to be a mix between a first-person shooter and an RTS, where you have control over a character, yet it's from a certain distance that is... more like, you know, you're selecting a bunch of characters and you're doing stuff in a real-time strategy. It's kind of somewhere in the middle of those. And both of those genres are probably the top two most popular genres, so I'm not sure why no one's coming out with really good adventure games.
I think that it's just an unfortunate turn that people finally found the puzzles where you take the hairball from the cat and mix it with the yarn, link it up to your stopwatch, melt it in a ceramic glass, and then explode that to make some shards that you can use to make a key to open that door.
Yeah, you're
right. Puzzles like that people find ridiculous, but at the same time, you know, I don't know if you said this already, but it's kind of like the developers also give up. They're like, oh, let's just throw a bunch of shit into a pot and make that a puzzle.
Right, well, that's exactly the point. I mean, also, you'd think after this much time of seeing the genre progress that they would have learned those lessons and then just not done that again and come out with better games. But time and time
you,
again,
you,
you'll
you know
have
who did learn that? Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You know who did learn that lesson? This developer called Quantic Dream. I don't know if I showed you this game yet, but it's called Indigo Prophecy.
And yeah, it came out, I played it.
I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, they need to bring that back. They need to keep on making games like that to revive
absolutely
the genre.
That's a good example. But
it's
I mean,
dynamic. It's different, and it's still an adventure game.
Yep. The key, you know, right? Making puzzles that aren't just silly, you know, and I mean, to me, an adventure game was always
put your sperm in the cup.
That's right. Put the sperm in the cup, and then you know. Press, you know, A and S as fast as you can back and forth to make the humping motion of the hand going back.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey, that would work. I would play that game for, like, hours. But, I don't know. It seems to be that they can come up with puzzles that make sense, and they're not... I don't know. I don't know why that the genre died. I think people want a fast-paced game more than anything now. I think... As the younger generation gets a little older, gets into their teen
but
years.
I was your age!
Yeah, they want less thinking games and more action games. That at least seems to me to be the direction. And it's, and
yeah, you know, I'm also on that wavelength.
You know what's funny is that my genre that I don't believe is getting enough love is the exact opposite, is a 2D shoot-em-up.
Yeah, but 2D like, shoot-em-up. 2D shoot-em-up you're talking about. That's different than
3D.
Yeah,
for example, like Gradius.
Wow! By one whole dimension, Ethan.
Gradius.
That's a totally different thing, dude.
Yeah, but like games like Gradius, for example. I mean, Gradius 5 just came out for PS2 like 1.5-2 years ago. That's been like the only one for a long time that's actually
yeah,
had significant merit, significant value. That has been taken. That had a lot of care and attention applied to it in the creation of that game. And a lot of the ones that are being released now are just remakes. The PSP just got the Gradius Collection, but it's not a new game.
Yeah.
You know, it's an old one. The GameCube got Ikaruga, which is fantastic, you know, but since then, nothing has come out. The PS2, GameCube, and Xbox also got this game called Alien Hominid, which Al referenced before, and that's all good too, but amidst how many first-person shooters, amidst how many 3D platformers that require you to collect 23 oranges before you can go on to the next area, where you collect 27 oranges into the next area where you collect, like, 5 pieces of hair, you know? what happened to the good old Twitch gameplay that relied on dexterity, skills, attention to detail,
Because there's a special kind of addiction there that you don't get with some of the other games.
Right.
Especially when the levels are simple enough. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just have to say that I would like to give you what I would love to see. And if I just can quickly, what I would love not to see anymore. this is a great fixation of mine because I would love not to see another damn fucking video game that's based on a movie.
Yes.
Not at all. Love.
Thank you.
Not
that would be nice.
Can again. Okay. I don't want to see X-Men 3. You know, the video game which sucks balls. It features the voices of Hugh Jackman. Okay, but you know the controls are out.
Hey, he
the
was
fucking
on Broadway.
I want to see a video game based on the Family Stones.
Yeah. I'm just sick of the whole, video game whoring industry, you know, to feel
any
that...
Any video game based on a Hillary Duff movie
whoring
is
industry.
A winner.
I'm sorry. I mean, you know what really... I mean, I'm just basing this because anybody that thought Catwoman was a great idea as a movie and even a better idea as a video game, they need to be impaled. I swear
okay,
to God.
That's not nice because I thought that.
Yeah. what I would love to see, though, and I have told you guys this before, is kind of like a turn-based strategy game, which is more about micromanaging, okay? Which means that each of your individual, guys gain levels and stuff. They change classes, gain levels, you can control them to do different things, the enemies...
On an individual unit-by-unit basis, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Like every
exactly.
little grunt.
Yes, exactly. Okay, and everyone is just as important as the last because they have different characteristics when they level up. Okay, so you could start off with grunts, but end up with two entirely different units. Okay, or
and
three entirely
anymore.
okay, which each have their weakness, strengths and weaknesses based on, you know, their class or their levels, okay? I would love to see something like that, because there was a game on Sega CD, okay, which was that, okay? It was called Dark Wizard. It did exactly that. It was non-graphical whatsoever. I mean, the graphics were laughable, okay? But it wasn't about the graphics. It was about the gameplay.
I got you.
And it had fantastic music, and just, like, I loved that aspect of it. Like, the RTS games that you have now, it's not the same. Like, units gain levels, but once, you know, it's almost like a gimmick kind of thing, you know? They don't really gain levels that actually help, you know, change their fighting styles or their interaction with other characters and stuff like that. And I would love to see, on a grand scale, a game where I could control, you know, upwards of, say, 100 troops. Each one of them I know individually. Each one is just as important as the last. It'd be like chess.
I see in my crystal balls Diablo, the real-time strategy game from Blizzard.
Really?
No.
I'd like to, I want to say one thing quickly about the adventure game thing that I just thought of. I have to digress it just a second.
Yep.
The Sims, most popular game, I don't know, maybe in history. Yeah, I know you hate it, but hugely popular adventure game.
I like that.
No, it's an adventure game, and it was extremely successful. Why no one else is focusing on that is a mystery to me.
Is it really an adventure game as much as it is a fake life simulation?
That's what an adventure game is. That's all it is.
It's different from the viewpoint that The Sims is like a sandbox game. And if you're talking about play mechanics, yes, it's point and click. But what I mean is, The Sims is a sandbox game. You just simulate like a life, and you just take it somewhere. And it
Let me finish.
Traditional adventure game. You got a story. You play your way through it. You solve puzzles. To me, at least, the mindset is totally different between those two genres, even though the actions are the same.
I think you're right in the sense that if you're comparing like the whole Quest series to something like that, where that's kind of the ideal adventure game, where everything's linear. However,
it doesn't have to be linear, but I'm saying that it takes you through an adventure. To me, an adventure that's given to you and that's created.
But that's what The Sims does. It takes you through an adventure. Now, given it's probably more
men
of a
who play The Sims are homosexuals.
I know it.
but we're coming into semantics here as to what defines an adventure then, because if we say, oh, this game isn't a role-playing game, then you can say, oh, you play it.
No, I think that's a role-playing game. Yeah, it's a role-playing.
I'm not saying that The Sims is a role-playing game or not. I'm just saying that it's a similar semantic argument where you say, oh, this game is not a role-playing game, and then someone else says, oh, but it is because you're quote-unquote playing a role. That's
right.
Too simple.
No, okay, that's fine. Yep.
So, to me, The Sims is not an adventure game. It's just a simulation or a sandbox game. It's not really an adventure.
Well, the difference, I think, with The Sims and maybe some of the others is that it allows you to do more of your own mini-adventure within the game, and you figure out what your adventure is and then do it, whereas the role-playing game doesn't, because those are, you're literally stuck with the character that you have.
I would say Pikmin was an adventure game.
Pikmin?
All right, let's move on before we beat this into the ground.
All right, sorry.
We've got the idiot box here in honor of all the stupid quotes that Sony has given us for the past 5 days. We've got the idiot box full of quotes that aren't only Sony. Well, actually, I looked through all these quotes that I could find, and most of them are just Sony and Nintendo. I guess those Japanese people, man. Those freaking Japanese. I'm just kidding. Here are some quotes, and some of them I got to thank IGN for. They put up a feature called the Top 10 Wildest Statements by Game Executives. That's where I got some of these from. But let's start off with me and Al's favorite idiot, Hiroshi Yamauchi, formerly the Taskmaster at Nintendo.
The head like zombie.
He's like about 137 years old right now. First by Yamauchi, people who play RPGs are depressed gamers who like to sit alone in the dark rooms and play slow games. They're silly and boring. Meanwhile, Yamauchi claims to never have played a video game before. Then he says, there are many people in the industry that know nothing about games. Okay, coming from a guy who's never played a video game before. But let me continue. This is about Microsoft and the Xbox. This is what he was saying. There are many people in the industry who know nothing about games. In particular, a large American company is trying to engulf software houses with money, but I don't believe that will go well. Meanwhile, Microsoft is on its second console, came out first, and is selling pretty well. What else has he said? I have been saying this for some time, but customers are not interested in grand games with higher quality graphics and sound and epic stories. Only people who do not know the video game business would advocate the release of next generation machines when people are not interested in cutting edge technologies. So that's three strikes. Do we have any more from him?
Yeah, well, he probably has a black and white TV.
Oh yeah. Okay. More from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Satoru Iwata, the current president. Customers do not want online games. He said this in May of 2004 when Xbox Live was doing pretty well and everybody was getting on the online bandwagon. What do you have now? The Nintendo DS that connects to a Wi-Fi online service and people love it. What else?
You know
Nintendo?
Why?
Because the internet is so porn.
Now we move back to our favorite Sony Bandcamp. Ken Kutaragi, we hate you. Here's his first one. This is in reference to the PlayStation 2. You can communicate to a new cyber city. Did you see the movie The Matrix? Same interface. Wait, same interface, same concept. Starting from next year, you can jack into The Matrix. And then he says, what's his next one?
Sign me up.
Here we go. And we just spoke about this a few hours ago. The PS3 is a computer. In the PC world, specifications rarely last more than 2 years. You need to update them. The same thing must happen to the PlayStation 3. Everything has been planned and designed so it will become a computer. Lastly, our favorite or least favorite one, the PlayStation 3 might actually be too cheap. At $600, I would not agree with that at all.
Well, no, that's Ethan's point right there. He wanted it to be more expensive. So that.
Well, screw him! Anyway, from Phil Harrison, another person from Sony, we do not need the PC. Because of the fact that the PlayStation will play movies and let you browse the web. No, I don't think so. Here's another one, and this is not directly related to Sony PlayStation, but Sony Online Entertainment. This guy who looks like a gopher, Rafe Koster, who no longer is with SOE, I wonder why, said this. The single-player game is a strange mutant monster which has only existed for 21 years and is about to go away because it is unnatural and abnormal. Now, think about how successful Super Mario Brothers, one-player game, has been, and you'll see something there. And last one from Sony before I stop ragging on it, because I know Al has a great quote that he wants to say. David Reeves of Sony Europe. We have built up a certain brand equity over time since the launch of the PlayStation in 1995. The PlayStation 2 in 2000. That the first 5 million are going to buy the PlayStation 3, whatever it is, even if it didn't have games.
I mean, it's funny. You know what? That quote actually works if he just stops right before, even if it didn't have games.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a decent
in my
point
pocket
there that somebody's gonna buy, that people are gonna buy the system just because it's out. But oh my god,
dude! I just opened the lid and licked the CD lens. That's all I'll do. That's what I bought it for.
What is? I think, you know, amidst all this crazy stuff from idiots at Nintendo and Sony, all these crazy quotes, I think, Al, your quote tops them all.
The most idiotic quote ever.
Sweetness.
It's by one of the most idiotic men in the history of America.
Gotta be me.
It's not even George Bush. It's Jack Thompson. Now, Jack Thompson, basically speaking out on a recent incident in Louisiana where this guy got beaten to death and shot in his face. He says, nobody shoots anybody in the face unless you're a hitman or a video gamer.
It's very convenient because...
I'm a video gamer and I shoot people in the face all the time.
I was just saying, that's very convenient because Hitman 3 is coming to video games very soon.
Well, marketing.
You know what?
That's great. I'd like to see the Hitman video game Venn diagram. How many actual Hitman do you think play video games? I'll bet none. I'll bet every one of them was like, you know, sent to a foster home, adopted by an abusive father, raped as a child, and is now a Hitman, and plays no video games.
Dude,
and has trouble getting a hard-on.
Let me tell you something. There's only one game that made me want to shoot somebody in the face, and that was Super Mario Brothers when King Koopa knocked me off. And, you know, it was very disturbing. He hurt me.
Yeah.
I want to kill. I'm sorry.
Good job,
but here, there's even more. It gets worse.
How could it?
Now, talk about really, really lame analogies.
Oh, boy.
The reports of the crime state that the suspect had murdered his victim, quote-unquote, because the victim would not allow the guy to borrow his car. In Thompson's words, this is the same scenario in Grand Theft Auto.
Holy crap.
Comparing the game Grand Theft Auto to the fact that the guy killed the man because he wouldn't let him borrow his car.
Because, you know what, actually, that's the best part about Grand Theft Auto. Every time I go up to a new car and I open the door and I say, excuse me, sir, may I borrow your car? And he says, no, that's when I rip him out and I shoot him and I get in the car and go away. It's not that I'm stealing them, it's that they won't let me borrow them.
Listen, Thompson's on that crack cocaine! I'm also upset because in real life, I'm very upset with the police because in real life, when I blow up a car, I can't get out of jail for $50.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Can on, you know, Grand Theft Auto. Like, you know, what are we going to do? What can we do? I can't go and blow up shit now.
Into cheat codes, I see no tanks falling from the sky.
I want to get through city
and
you know, put down a wanted level through a cheat code.
Wow.
Well, that is really retarded. I don't understand. I mean, the only thing I have to say about Zach Thompson is that Louisiana has an opportunity to prove that they either believe or don't believe the same things that he's spouting. And that opportunity should be coming this year. So let's see how it goes in November, because I don't know what their schedule is, but
Jambalaya.
He cannot win again. That would be ridiculous. He's wasting money. Mm-hmm. He's wasting time. It really is. It's silly because it's so ridiculous, but it's a lot of money and effort that he's wasting.
Was there a poll taken in Louisiana that actually showed a consensus with this belief?
No. Actually.
I mean, why would he just say it, like, all of a sudden out of the blue, thinking he could rally up support for something as stupid as this? Unless there was some, you know, other equally same-minded people, okay, who shared his same view and never played a video game in their life.
You know what that's called? That's called the Louisiana Senate, who passed that law we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. It's also called half of America who doesn't want to become a good parent, but I digress.
Serious.
Well,
I mean,
let's
like,
give the people
just
a chance to vote after this stuff has been enacted.
Yeah, we'll see.
I've never seen anything that, well, I have. I mean, I really have seen, like, when, what was that movie? Oh, yeah. The Program. Remember that movie, The Program? It was football,
Yeah.
With James Caan and stuff. You know how much legislation and how many equally minded people, okay, with equally stupid intellects went and said, oh, yeah, that scene's got to be deleted from the movie. You know, the one where they lie down in the middle of the street.
Right.
Two kids in America emulated that move. Two kids, okay? I'm sorry, but, you know, there's a greater population of kids out there, and if two kids were this stupid, that's the population that needed to go.
I have to say, I was one of those kids, and I didn't even see the movie, so they got it all wrong.
And that's why you got a wooden leg.
Yeah!
I think we've descended to a new low with that comment. If anybody cares to comment on this podcast or ask a question or whatever, which reminds me, I have one more thing to say before we leave today. Please email us at mailbag@trygames.net. If you don't know how to spell it, you're a moron.
Frank.
But one thing I'd like to thank one of our readers, this comes from yanksartop@yahoo.com. I begged for some information on the disappearance of the Ape Extreme console that was supposed to play computer games on your TV and via console, which is totally useless. And he, too, doesn't see any evidence that the thing is still alive, but he does say that that discovered a technology that was used to embed into those devices, Windows XP, to boot up like a console, is actually being used in some places. I can't remember where, but I'm going to pull it up right now and tell you later, because we're running on 90 zillion minutes long. I'm tired. My sinuses are acting up.
Mine are too.
Mine too. We got to stop kissing.
You know,
shut
that
up.
Age is acting up.
Take some Robitussin.
I gotta put some Tussin on it.
That about wraps it up. Everyone want to sign off. Thanks to Ethan, Tony, Al, and myself for producing the best podcast in the world.
You need to stop playing.